We are going to be learning Kutasikhas Chelik, the second Sikha for Parshas Vayishlach, which is a Rashi and a Rambam Sikha. The first part will be a Rashi Sikha, and the second part will be comparing Rashi, we'll be discussing the Rambam, and then ultimately comparing the Rambam to the Rashi. So what we're going to do is we're going to split this year into two. First part will be the Rashi, and really comparing Rashi to the Shas, and then we will, then we'll learn, the, then on the second part, we'll do Rashi and the Rambam. So in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph tells us halacha that lo yisiached adam imahem b'nei shechshudim al shvichas damim. That person's not supposed to be misiached with the guy because they're chashud al shvichas damim, because there's a chash shvichas damim. So there shouldn't be just you and this individual on its own. So the Poskim bring that this was referring to the nations of earlier times. And as the Meiri and the Encyclopedia explains, that in earlier times before Goyim had a religion, it was just they were just Bali of Edazara, and it was basically a wild west regarding law. Each tribe did their own thing. There wasn't any set rules or any set punishments. There wasn't proper courts and police. It was a situation of a certain level of anarchy. But once the world became more civilized, and there were religions, and there's rules to this religion, and there were governments who were enforcing these laws, then these rules of Shvichas Damim don't aren't applicable in most scenarios. We'll discuss what scenarios they'll still be applicable in, but in most scenarios they won't be applicable. The Encyclopedia HaTalmud just actually gives us an interesting rule. It says that in the Gemara you'll find gezeiros regarding goyim. So how do you know when if this gezeira is about a goy from earlier generations who was a Baal HaAvodah Zarah, or is it referring to any goy? So it says the klal is that if it's something to do with kashrus or chilul Shabbos or the inyan of chasnus, then that refers to any any goy, because this has more to do with inyanim of religion. But when it has to do with shvichas damim, and those types of situations, then it only applies to the early generations, not applicable nowadays. So anyway, so in the Gemara, this is in Daf Chei Amud Beis, it discusses this line in the Mishnah of Lo Yisiachid Maim, and it gives more details and tells us additional halachas regarding it. It says Yisrael Shin's Dam Lay Nachri Bederech Teiful Yemina. It tells us that a Yid meets this Nachri. Again, it's talking about a Nachri from the earlier generations that did not have any set rule or set laws. What you want to do is you want to push him to your right side. The idea is that you want your right hand to be right next to him, so he's going to be on your right side. And therefore, if he, let's say, tries to take out his sword, which again the sword would be on the left side of the individual, so therefore you could grab him or grab his sword, you'd have more control. And tells us different halachas about what you should be doing if you're traveling with this, if you happen to be traveling with a guy. So at the end of them, if the Gemara tells us that what happens if Shaalu lahichan haylach, if they ask you where are you going. So the halacha is yarchiv lahaderech. What the halacha is, what you're supposed to do is you have to broaden the path, broaden the way. Kederech shasa Yaakov vino leEsav, as we see in this week's parsha. This is what Yaakov did to Esav Arasha. Dechsiv, that when Esav, after he met with Yaakov, Esav offers Yaakov to go with him and to accompany him on his journey. So Yaakov tells him that no, you go on your own. I have to go slowly with the sheep and the children. And if I push them too much, then and even one day we're going to go too fast and the sheep will die. Rather, you go, and eventually, I'll meet you, my master, in Seir. And the idea was, according to Mefarshim, is that Yaakov and Esav wanted to accompany Yaakov to Seir, and then from Seir, Yaakov would be able to cross into Eretz Yisrael from the area of Seir, which would be in the southeast, really, of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so that's what Esav wanted. So Yaakov tells him that. He brought in the way. He says, I'll meet you there eventually in Sa'ir. And it's written, what happened? It says Yaakov traveled to Sukkah. So he didn't continue going slowly until he eventually reached Sa'ir. Rather, he went to a place called Sukkah, and from there he went to Shechem, and ultimately he went back to Yaakov. And it seems like he never actually went to Sa'ir. Okay, so what's the point of the Gemara? So Rashi explains that we're learning that in a situation of Sakana Sefashis, then you're allowed to lie. Just like we find that Yaakov Avinu, he tells Esav that he is going to go to Seir, he's going to meet him there eventually. But Papayel, he never went, he actually went to Sukkos. So similarly, if a guy meets you on the way, what you a guy and asks you, where are you going? So therefore, there's a chashash shvichas damim. If you're planning on just going one parsa, you should go two parsas. And why is Rashi explains? Because Ula Yamtim Hanochi Malakoisa at Parsa Shnia Ze Yifreshmen Ukedim Lachem. So Rashi says that tells us exactly what that means. What does it mean Marchiv Lahidech? So he explains it. This is important because there's different ways of explaining what does it mean Marchiv Lahidech. So Rashi tells us Marchiv Lahidech means that you lengthen the journey. If you're planning on going one parsa, you tell him, oh, I'm going two parsais. And the purpose is that even though he's planning on killing you, but maybe he'll wait to the end of the journey. And before that, you will separate. And of course, the logic would be is, usually a thief or a bandit will want to stay with you longer so you feel more comfortable with them. Like the longer you're traveling together, you start letting your guard down. So of course, there would be a certain logic for him to wait until you're more comfortable with him. So if you give him a wrong, distance, therefore he'll wait to the end of the two parsais. And really, you're planning on leaving at the first parsa. The Gemara actually gives two stories about this idea. It tells us the story of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, that they were, the students of Rabbi Akiva were traveling to the place called Kziv in Eretz Yisrael, and these bandits met them and asked them, where are you going? So they said, oh, we're going to Akkad, which is much farther north. So when they reached Kziv, they left. So they said, who are you? So the bandits realized what happened, that they tricked them. So they said, who are you students of? So they said, we're students of Rabbi Akiva. So they said, Ashri Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud of Happy's Rabbi Akiva and his students, that Shalai Pagabam Adam Rama Olam, that no evil person has ever attacked them. Meaning is, they were praising Rabbi Akiva for his wisdom, that he was able to teach his students the proper ways of how to travel. Then he gives us another story of Rabbi Menashe, that he was also going to a place called Beitursa, and then thieves met him. Asked him where he's going. They said, I'm going to Pupendisa. But when he reached the area of Tursa, he stopped. So they said, who are you a student of? They says, Yehuda. So he says, you're the student of Yehuda the trickster. So he replies to them, do you know Rabbi Yehuda to be a disciple person? There should be a curse upon you. He put them into a cherem. And eventually, after 22 years, these Ganavim were never successful, and therefore they came to him and asked for forgiveness, and he removed the cherem. But one of them did not want to ever ask, and he was, because he was haughty, so he was actually eventually consumed by a lion. But this is the Ha'inu D'Amr Inchi. One of the things, let's skip a little bit, one of the things say, look at the difference between the thieves of Bavel and the listim of Eretz Yisrael. That, but the story of Menashe, Padisa, and Beitursa, which is in Bavel. And they were just thieves. They weren't planning on killing him. And what was their response when they were tricked? They started insulting Rav Yehuda. Masha Inkin, the listim of Eretz Yisrael, listim are bandits. They are choshesh of murder. And what did that happen when they realized the wisdom of the students of Rabbi Akiva? They praised Rabbi Akiva. So you could see the even a Yisrael, who is a murderer in Eretz Yisrael, has certain qualities which are greater than the thieves, which are in Bavel. Anyway, so that's the idea. So what are we seeing from these two stories? This is a proof to Rashi that we're saying that they lied. They said we're going to Akkoy, and really they were just going to Kaziv. He said he was going to Beitursa, and really he was going to, he said he was going to Pavadisa, and really he was just going to Beitursa. So we see from the story of Yaakov, just like Yaakov said he's going to go to Seir, but really he just went to Sukkot. This is how Rashi explains the Gemara. And that's also, of course, that's how the Gemara will explain the story with Yaakov and Esav. If we look in the Medrash, though, the Medrash tells us that, he says, Chazarnu al kol ha-mikra, we reviewed all the Psukim, and we never find that Yaakov actually went to Esav and Har Seir. So after Yaakov and Mitu HaYamar, but is it possible that Yaakov, who was so honest, he was MS, and he would trick him? Allah, he says, when will this happen? That if this will happen, that the Mashim, those who are saved, will go up to Har Esav to judge the individuals on Har Esav. So what do we see from the Medrash? So from the Medrash has really the same question as the Gemara. The Gemara sees that Yaakov didn't say the truth. So the Gemara says, yeah, he did the right thing because it was Sekhanas Lefashas. And this is what you're supposed to do. L'chatchila, you're supposed to tell, it's halacha. It's interesting. It's not just, it's halacha. You're supposed to tell him the not wrong place because it's there's a mitzvah, shmartim oydin nafshei seichem. You have to guard yourself. So in these types of situations, you actually are supposed to lie in order to protect yourself. While the Medrash sees the story of Yaakov and understands that Yaakov didn't lie. Oh, Yaakov was saying the truth. Yaakov was saying the truth because when he said that he's going to go to Seir, he meant, la'asod lava, he's going to go to Har Seir. Okay. So the Pashtus, it seems like there's a Deis Chalukis, the story of the Gemara and the Medrash Lechayra argue, right? According to the Medrash, Yaakov was saying the truth, and of course you can't learn anything from the story regarding what you should do if a Nachri meets you on the way. Mashanik, according to the Gemara, it was actual lie, and we can learn halach lemaisa what you're supposed to do in situations when there's a chashash shvichas damin when you're traveling with the guy. But if we look at Rashi on a Torah, Rashi actually seems like he combines both of these Purushim together. Rashi says like this, on the words, Adasha Ova Yaldai Nisir, Rashi says, he broadened the path, because he was only planning on going to Sukkot. So he told him, Seir, but he was actually only planning on going to Sukkot. Why did he do that? He says, if his das is to do anything bad to me, he'll wait till I come to him, basically, in Seir, but he never went. But when will Yaakov go? So what did Rashi do? Rashi seems to combine both of those things. On one hand, he's saying that he was scared that Esav would do something bad to him. That's like the Gemara. But he also combines the Medrash that he was also telling the truth, because Bepoel, he will be going La'asad Lavi. And as the Mephorshim explain, that... And Mephorshim explain what's going on over here. That Lechayra, it's not a Rashi's understanding that the Medrash and the Gemara are not arguing with each other. They both fit very well. Meaning is the Gemara is telling us what was Yaakov could have said something very simple. Esav, don't worry about me. I have to go very slowly. It's going to take me a long time. I'm planning on stopping in Sukkot and going to have to wait there for 18 months. It's going to be a long journey. So you just go ahead of me, and that's it. Why do you have to tell him I'm going to go to Seir if he wasn't planning on going to Seir? And to say that, oh, because La'asad Lavi, I'm going to go to Seir, still, that wasn't really what Esav understood. So, A, why would you tell him about La'asad Lavi going to, like, why is that relevant? And especially since Esav doesn't understand that, so according to Esav, it seems like he lied. Why would he do that? So, therefore, the Gemara tells us because he was afraid. Aye, but Yaakov was the Midas Emes, how could he lie? So the Medrash tells us he didn't lie because it's Taka Emes, La'asad Lavi, it will happen. So according to Rashi, both of these Pshatim work together. The Gemara is telling us the reason why there was this Geneva's Das. And then the Medrash says, but Papel, don't worry, Yaakov didn't actually lie because it's going to happen, La'asad Lavi. The problem with this particular Pshat is that it doesn't fit. Because according to Rashi on the Gemara, what are we learning from the story of Yaakov? We're learning from Yaakov that you're supposed to lie. That when you're going on a journey and the guy asks you where you're going and you're only planning on going one parsa, you're supposed to lie and say, I'm going two parsa. And we brought stories in the Gemara that they lied. They were planning on going to Ksiv and they told them they were going to Akai. It's mamash a lie. And the Gemara says, Kederach she'asa Yaakov le'esav, just like Yaakov did to Esav. So clearly, the way how the Gemara is understanding it, that we're supposed to be marchiv the derech, just like Yaakov did to Esav or Rasha. So the Gemara is learning that there was a lie. Masha Enkein, according to how Rashi is explaining the story in Chumash, he's saying it wasn't really a lie. Yaakov just, hid the truth. He said the truth, but he said in a way that there would be some Geneva's Das. Going forward, I'll just call it hiding the truth. Meaning is because he did say the truth, but according to Esav, it seemed like a lie. So I'll just maybe call it hiding the truth. That's just a nicer way of saying that, you could maybe call it a white lie. You can call it Geneva's Das, but I think I'll just call it hiding the complete truth. Okay, so either way, there's a very big nafka mina. It's not just... It's a very bad nafka mina between how Rashi understands it on the Chumash and how he understands in the Gemara. Because according to the Gemara, what are we learning from Yaakov? That your mamish allowed to lie. But according to how Rashi's explaining the story in the Chumash, Yaakov didn't actually lie. He was telling the truth. So he had kavana for something which is truth. It's just that Esav misunderstood him. So what would be the nafka mina? So the nafka mina is that if you're going on the way and a guy approaches you and asks you where you're going, so according to how Rashi explains the story in the Gemara, you're not only is it mutter to lie to him, l'chayr, you're supposed to lie to him to protect yourself. You're supposed to lie to him. It's definitely mutter and l'chayr, even a mitzvah. It seems like you would actually have to. It's a din that you have to lie. Masha Enkein, according to Rashi al-Chumash, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to just hide the truth. You tell him something which is true, but he misunderstands it. That's a very big nafka mina. Are you supposed to lie and that's mamash din, or are you not allowed to lie and what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to say the truth in a way that the guy won't understand what's really going on. So that seems to be a very big nafka mina and a very big stira in Rashi. I had to explain what was the story of Yaakov. Did Yaakov lie, or did Yaakov just hide the truth? I should point out that in the Inyan Yaakov of the Gemara, he wants to say that maybe that was, he actually wants to explain the Gemara the same way. He wants to explain that the Gemara also means, when it says Keder Shos of Yaakov, is that what are we supposed to do? What we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to, if you have, we're in this type of situation, you should say, I'm going to go two parsais, stop at one parsa, and then, you know, eventually, you know, after a month or two, you go the second parsa. So you're telling the truth, it's just not right away. It's like hiding the truth again. But of course, that's not how Rashi explains it. Rashi, Purusha Shas, in Mefashim. But Rashi does not explain it that way. It does not explain it that way. Rather, he says that you tell him two parsais, and then you're yipurish b'menu kodem l'chein. You separate him from before that, and also in the stories in the Gemara of Rabbi Kiva, the students of Rabbi Kiva and Menashe, we don't find that they lied. They said they went one place, and then they stopped at that place. It never says that they continue to this other location. So the pashtus from Rashi, and also the pashtus of the Gemara, it's not mashma that they were, you know, eventually went to these other areas. Elamai, it was mamash a lie. Oibazai, it seems to be a very big nafkamina between Rashi ala Chumash and Rashi ala Shas. And that's really the question of the Sicha. Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to focus first on Rashi on the Chumash, and then we'll, after we understand Rashi on the Chumash, we'll get back to Rashi ala Shas. So Rashi ala Chumash, the Rebbe has a question, that it seems like it's very lengthy. It's a very lengthy Rashi, which is unnecessary. Seems like the question of Rashi is, you know, why did he tell him he's going to Seir if he wasn't really going to Seir? So all Rashi needed to say was, the reason he did that was because Amar, he said, if Daitu lasat li ra, he'll wait till I get to Seir, and he won't want go. It seems like he lied. No, ve'emes ayeluch ve'emes shiach. All he needed to write really was the reasoning why he said Seir, and when eventually he'll go. Because we know that really was the issue. Why is he saying he's going to Seir if he's not going to Seir? So the answer is because he was afraid of Esav. Did he actually lie? No, it's going to be Maisim Mashiach. The question is, what is Rashi adding by saying, he brought in the path because his das was not going, he wasn't planning on going, he was planning on stopping basically at Sukkos. How does that add anything to the interpretation? You might give me some extra details, like you're spelling out, you know, what he did. Like, he's basically saying, he told him to go to Seir. What is that? That's basically lengthening the road. Why? Because he only was going actually, like, the first basically line of, we know this from the psukim themselves. And the question is, really, why did he, what's the chayr bothering Rashi is, why was he marchiv le'derech when he was only planning on to Sukkos? So he should have just started from the words, Amar im daita lasasira. What is Rashi adding? So the explanation is, that Rashi, this is the explanation. And let me just, before I get to the Rebbe's answer, is just to L'chaira, what's L'chaira bothering Rashi? The Rebbe doesn't say clearly what's bothering Rashi, but just from the Pirush that the Rebbe gives, L'chaira, at least these are some of the issues that are bothering Rashi. One issue is, Esav is there, and he wants to travel with Yaakov, accompany him to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what does the Pasuk say? So Yaakov says, you know, please, my master, I have to go very slow. If you're going to come with me, you're going to want, you know, you're going to rush me a bit, and the animals are going to die. So you just go ahead. You know, it's completely unnecessary. So the Rashi's bother then is, why does Yaakov add at the end of the Pasuk, and I'll meet you there eventually at Seir? Why couldn't he have just stopped by saying, you go ahead, Asa, because I have to go slowly? Why did he have to say that I'm going to go to say, I'll meet you there at Seir? Why that is that last line necessary? Furthermore, the second thing that's bothering Rashi is that line is really a lie, because he didn't go to Seir, he actually stopped in Sukkos. So he's telling Esav, don't wait for me, I have to go very slowly, and eventually I'll get to Seir. It's mashma, yeah, but eventually I'm planning on traveling until I go to Seir. That's not what happened. He traveled until he got to Sukkos, and then he stopped. And then he went somewhere else. He went to Shechem. And so why is he saying that I'm going to meet you at Seir, which implies that he's, you know, I'm going to go slowly, but eventually I'm going to get to Seir. That's not what he was planning on doing. He was planning just at stopping at Sukkos. He should have just said something very simple to Esav. He should have either just told him, I have to go very slowly, so just go ahead of me. Or he says, I'm going to have to go very slowly, and I'm planning on stopping at Sukkos for 18 months. So really, there's no point for you to to stay. That's what's bothering Rashi. So Rashi has to deal with these two issues. So what does Rashi tell us? So Rashi tells us, Hirkov lo yaderech. So he wants to tell us right away that Yaakov actually didn't lie to Esav when he said he's going to Seir. Because Yaakov was planning on going to Seir. When he said that, I'm going to go slowly and eventually I'm going to go to Seir, that was his plan. Because the word Hirkov lo yaderech doesn't actually mean that he made the journey longer. Like in the Gemara, we translate it to mean is that if you're planning on going one parsa, go two parsas. You're planning on going to Ksiv, you know, tell the guy Akai. Over here, and the Gemara would learn is that Yaakov is planning on going to Sukkot, and he tells him Seir. Rashi says that's actually not what happened in this story. Yaakov was planning on going to Seir. The Haraya, the Lashon, is Hirkov Lahadir. Hirkov doesn't mean making the journey longer. The Lashon we have in many places, we call it Ader Harucha, you know, like in the beginning of time, Ader Harucha Tzara. Ader Harucha means you're making the journey longer. When you say Hirchiv Lahaderech, it means that you're prolonging the journey, or you're broadening the journey, you're expanding the path. It's like saying, I'm traveling to New York. So it could be a direct one, or you could say, I'm going to have an expanded trip to New York. When someone tells you you're having an expanded trip to New York, they understand that to mean is that you're going to make a bunch of stops on the way, and you're going to maybe, you know, stay at a hotel, do some fun things on the way. So you're going to have it's going to be a trip to New York, but it's going to be an expanded trip. Meaning is it's going to take time. So that's what Yaakov was just telling Esav. As we see clearly in the pasuk, that's what he was telling him. He says, I have to go very slowly. You can go quickly there. I have to go very slowly because of the sheep and because of the children. So what was Yaakov doing? Yaakov was just telling him that the journey was going to be, it's the path, the journey is just going to be broader and expanded and prolonged. Hirchiv lahaderech. And what he was telling him, though, he wasn't just, but that's what he told him at the beginning of the pasuk, that it's going to take much longer. What he adds, though, is that he prolonged the journey, which was going to go all the way to Seir. So the question is, Hirkov lehaderech. He prolongs the journey. But why does he prolong the journey and say that he's going all the way to Seir, if anyways, he should have just told Esav, I'm going to be stopping at Sukkot for 18 months. I mean, regarding Esav, what's relevant? Esav wants to travel with him because he's going to Seir anyways. So you say, look, I'm going anyways. I'll go a little slower for you. So Yaakov should have just told him, I'm going to Sukkot for 18 months. So it's, you know, there's no point. Why doesn't he tell them that? So that's what Rashi's trying to explain. So first of all, he tells him, Hirchiv lahaderech, he didn't lie. He was just making the journey much slower. And he makes the prolonged journey. He says, Hirchiv lahaderech until Seir. Why is he Hirchiv lahaderech b'kavana? He has Hirchiv lahaderech b'kavana. He's expanding the journey with kavana until Seir, even though he could have just told them, I'm only going to be going to Sukkot. So that's what Rashi's trying to deal with. On one hand, he wants to tell him the truth that he's just being Hirchiv lahaderech. Why doesn't he just tell him that? Why be Hirchiv lahaderech, even though his das was only to go to Sukkot? That seems to be a easier solution. Again, the pashtus, Esav, you know, let's assume there's no foul play. Esav wants to go with Yaakov to accompany him to Seir. So Yaakov should just tell him, I have to go much slower, and I'm also stopping at Sukkot. What does he do? He says, I'm going to go to Seir, but it's just going to take me a long time to get to Seir. Say a better thing. I'm not going to Seir for who knows how many years. I'm stopping at Sukkot. So he tells him, he's Hirchiv lahaderech. He does it on purpose. He prolongs the way. He keeps the path. He keeps the same derech. It's the same derech. It's till Seir like Esav wanted. He keeps that derech. But he just says it's going to take a long time. Even though he was planning on stopping at Sukkot. Not forever, because eventually he was going to stop. He was going to continue going to Shechem, ultimately to Israel, even ultimately, as we're going to see, Lasse Lave, to Seir. Why does he do that? Why doesn't he just say, again, the Pashas, I'm stopping at Sukkot for 18 months. That also would have taken care of the situation. The reason is because he was afraid, Omer, in Dait Las Lira, Yaakov was afraid of foul play. He was afraid that something might happen. So he says, I'm going to tell him to Seir, and then he'll set up his, if he plans to do anything bad to me, he'll set up these the ambush closer to Seir, and then therefore, Bepeil, V'hu Olai Halach, Yaakov did not go there. And interesting, Rebbe brings up points that some Gersois don't even have the words of V'hu Olai Halach, that he didn't go, because V'hu Olai Halach is mashmat that there was somewhat of a lie there. So according to some Gersois of Rashi, it doesn't even have those words of V'hu Olai Halach. But even according to our Gersois that does have it, it just means V'hu Olai Halach, it means he didn't go right then. He didn't go right away, because again, Even after he went to Sukkos, he realized there's still a chash that Esav might do something wrong. But when will he go? He'll go b'mei HaMashiach. So the end of Rashi explains the beginning of Rashi, that he was telling him the truth. All he did was hirchav lahader, because he was planning on going. He was telling him the truth, he will be going, and it's going to be lasa lavi. He'll eventually reach the end of the journey to Seir. Why does he do this funny thing of being Mark of Lehaderech, and he's eventually going to get there, Mois Mashiach? Why doesn't he just say, look, I'm planning on stopping at Sukkos for 18 months, so you want to go directly to Seir? I'm going to be going slowly, and I'm stopping at Sukkos. The reason why he did that was because he was afraid of a foul play. So that's how Rashi understands it. So according to Rashi, Al Chumash, Yaakov did not lie. And that's very important. Because that seems to be the Rashi Lechumash, we find this idea that he always learns with stories of Yaakov where it seems like he's lying, that he actually did not lie. I guess because Alpi Pshuta Shemikra, a tzaddik doesn't lie. So therefore, even the stories with the Yaakov stealing the brachos from Esav, and Yitzchak's asking questions of Yaakov, are you my Bechor, are you Esav? He answers in a way that, yes, I am he, I'm your son, and your Bechor is Esav. Like he never actually lies directly. Okay. Right, and it points out in our 18 star that even though Rashi is using the Lashon of the Gemara, and the Gemara uses the expression Yachiv, which to mean a longer way, instead of one parsa, two parsais, but we already spoke many times that Rashi on his Chumash on the Torah, he's explaining the Psukim. Therefore, in even in situations where he quotes Chazal, his kavana is always to the simple interpretation of those words. Even if Alder Halacha, these words could be explained in a different way, but Rashi's explaining his Pirish, someone who is learning Shkutei Shemikra, someone who's a five-year-old. So a five-year-old hasn't learned the Gemara, so he doesn't know that Machimonai as Hader Halpi, the Gemara really means lengthening. Well, the five-year-old just could translate the words. Machimonai Derech doesn't, it just means broadening, it means expanding the path. So therefore, it's very interesting. This is important, a very good example of this Klal that the Rebbe brings many places, that even when Rashi will bring the Maimer Chazal, he not necessarily is explaining the Maimer Chazal the same way the Chazal is explaining it. Rather, you have to translate the words of the Chazal that Rashi is bringing according to the most simple interpretation, how a five-year-old would understand it. So over here, what does that literally mean? It means literally broadening the path. So that's how you explain it over here. So he didn't lie. He didn't make the journey longer than it was supposed to be. No, he kept the same journey. And really, the only thing that's bothering Rashi is, okay, so he bothered, he broadened the journey, but for what reason did he broaden the journey to Seir? Why didn't he just tell him he's going to Sukkos? And now we answer because he was afraid of foul play. Okay. Okay, so the question, so going back. So that's how we understand Rashi. So now let's go back and compare again Rashi to the Gemara. So he said the Gemara learns that he literally lied. Mashaykin, according to Rashi, he actually didn't lie at all. He was saying the truth, and he always had this kavana of saying the truth. So the question, what we want to understand is, of course, the Chayyar Rashi and the Shas are saying two different, the Gemara is explaining the story differently than Rashi is explaining on Chumash. How could Rashi on the Chumash explain it differently than how the Gemara, and especially how Rashi himself is explaining the Gemara, the story of Yaakov? And now the question is even stronger, because L'chayra, the pirush that Rashi gives on the Chumash, it's much more geshmak. Because according to the pirush that Rashi gives on the Chumash, you could say that Yaakov didn't lie. So why is it that in the Gemara, Rashi learns that according to Gemara, there was literally a lie? Why? Once you could explain that the story of Yaakov, that was just marchiv and laiderch, and it was really, he just hid the truth a bit, why would the Gemara, and especially how Rashi explains the Gemara, want to assume that it was literally a lie by Yaakov? So that's the main question of the Sicha still. And one more point that the Rebbe brings out is that we see another difference between Rashi al Shas and on the Chumash. Rashi on the Shas says that the reason why you tell him a second parsa is because Ula Yamtim Hanachi Lat Mahal Kaisa. Maybe he'll wait to kill you until the second parsa. Meaning, according to Rashi al Shas, Rashi understands that this person is for sure coming to kill you. And the guy asks, where are you going? It's a vadai, or close to a vadai, that he's planning on killing you. Therefore, you have to tell him a second parsa, and ulayantim, hopefully he'll wait. Meaning it's not even a foolproof plan, but ulayantim, this is the best plan you could do in this type of situation. When you're journeying, you're on the road, there's no police, there's no way to protect yourself, so this is, your best option. But if you look at Pirush Rashi on the Torah, how does Rashi explain what happened with Yaakov and Esav? It was If Esav is planning to do something bad to me, he'll wait until I come to him. Very big difference. According to Rashi Alashas, Kederesh Asa Yakala Esav Apashas, that means that just like in the Gemara, it means that this goy is planning on killing you. So similarly, Esav was planning on killing Yaakov, and therefore Yaakov had to lie to him. Masha Einkel on the Chumash, Yaakov was Masupik. He said, maybe he's planning on doing something wrong. And of course, the second difference is that Rashi on the Chumash says that he didn't actually lie to him. Of course, those two things would probably be connected, as we'll see. Rebbe points out, there's also not gemina halacha, how you explain, how the Gemara is explaining the story of Yaakov. Because if you explain the story was that he literally lied, that means that in a situation where, the question would be is, if it's a situation where it's not a vadai that he's planning on killing you. So Rashi understands that there's a Nachri, and we're talking about the Nachrim of the good old days where they had no rules and no laws and no religion. Therefore, he asks you, where are you going? He's basically marking you as a target. So therefore, you're supposed to lie. But what happens if it's not such a vaday hezek? We don't know for sure if that's what this guy's planning. Maybe it's nowadays, you know, something like that, where it's not so for sure. What would be the scenario in such a situation? So according to the Gemara, it would seem that you shouldn't be, at least the chatchila, the Rebbe says the chatchila, kapon the chatchila, you should try to come with another etza. So it sounds like, according to the Gemara, when you're with a guy and he's asking you, and you know for sure he's, or pretty sure that he's marking you for death, then you have to lie. But if you don't know, and it's just a maybe, you know, maybe you know this guy, he's your neighbor, you know, so maybe he's not planning on killing you, then he says you should lechatchil al kapan, try to find another eta. Why lechatchil al kapan, you should try to find an eta? Because I guess if there's a chashash lekana, at the end of the day, if you have no other etzis, then you should taka say mamash alai. But if you have another option of to do something, for example, like Rashi did, machiv and lay sederach, you say the truth, you're just machiv lederach, I'm a very slow traveler, you might as well just go ahead of me, don't wait for me, it's gonna make your journey take too long, then try to come up with another etzah. Al kapanim lechatchila. The Rebbe brings the R 25. He brings the Medrash Agadol on the pasuk Adasher Avay, where it quotes first the, you know, asks the same question, like, we don't find that Yaakov ever went to Seir. So the first answer he gave was similar to the Medrash Rabbah, that lasa lavay may Mashiach will get there. But then he brings a davar acher that mikan amru mutu l'shanes b'divrei shalom, that you're allowed to change your words because of shalom. And Rav Nosson actually says it's a mitzvah l'shanes, that the Gemara wants to say that the Medrash wants to say that we learn from the story of Yaakov and Esav that it's permissible, or Rav Nosson says even a mitzvah, to change your words, to change something, to say something which isn't true for the sake of shalom. So b'pashtus, it seems like according to the Medrash, as we said earlier, the Medrash holds that it doesn't seem like Yaakov was completely afraid that Esav was going to kill him. That's why the first answer we gave was that it was the truth. It was talking about Yimayis Mashiach. But now we're giving other answers, is that, you know, it's mutun l'shanes, it's permissible to change because of peace, or even it might be a mitzvah. The idea being is that it seems like the Medrash is learning that, similar to Harashi is learning on the Chumash, that it wasn't a vadei hezek, it was like a suffix. We didn't know what was going to happen. Esav has issues with Yaakov, so even though right now they have some peace, but, you know, there's some issues there. And the law is that in the situations of shalom, that it would have caused a fight. Maybe not death, it would have caused they would have killed each other. But because of shalom, like, sometimes you're allowed to say a lie because of shalom bias. You're allowed to say a lie because of embarrassment in certain scenarios. The halacha discusses when exactly you're allowed to do it. But sometimes because of the sake of shalom, like we find by Avraham and Sarah, that Sarah said that my master is old, and when Hashem was speaking to Avram, he didn't mention that Sarah said that. She said, I'm old. And the Rashi actually brings this because, you know, we want to mishana b'divrei shalom. You want to change the words in order to make peace. He didn't want to cause shalom bias issues between Avram and Sarah. So we do find this idea. So therefore, when Esav wanted to accompany him all the way to Seir, so Yaakov said a little bit something which wasn't true in order to make peace. So therefore, that's probably why the Rebbe says, al-kapanim l'chatchila. Meaning is, assuming that the Gemara is not arguing with the Medrash. So the Gemara is saying is that when there's mamish sakanas tefashis, then you're chayiv, you know, to lie. If it's just a suffix, then, you know, kopanim l'chatchila, try a different situation. But if it's going to cause a fight, then it's mutter, or even maybe it's a mitzvah l'shanis. Even the Gemara would probably agree that even if it's just a suffix, you would be allowed to, or even maybe possibly a mitzvah, to change even that situation just to protect and to save oneself from a fight. And for sure, if of course there would actually be literally some type of chashash sakana, that of course would also be allowed. Okay, so again, so let's just summarize what we said so far. We've brought the Rashi on the Gemara, how the Rashi explains the story in the Gemara, and Rashi on the Chumash. So in the Gemara, how Rashi understands it is that Yaakov literally lied. And it was he understands the story of Esav. Esav was for sure planning on killing him, and that's why Yaakov lied. Asha'inkin al Chumash, he's learning that it was just that it wasn't so clear that Esav wanted to kill him. It was just like a suffix. And Yaakov actually didn't lie. He was just marchiv and lehaderech. He was, instead of just telling him straight out, I'm planning on going to Sukkot, he says, I'm going to go be going to Seir, and I don't know how long it's going to take me, so you go ahead. So the explanation is like this. So we explained it many, many times that Rashi always explains b'derech hapshat. Whether it's he's explaining the Gemara, or explaining the Torah, he's going to explain b'derech hapshat. But there's a very big difference. Rashi alachum is explaining the pshat of the psukim, and when he's explaining the shas, he's explaining the pshat of that Gemara. So when it's two different books, two different svarim. So Rashi will explain, look at the psukim in front of him, and explain the pshat according to the psukim. And when he's learning, looking at the Gemara, he's going to explain the pshat of the Gemara, looking at the Gemara. So therefore, if the Gemara is understanding the psukim in a different way, then he'll explain the psukim according to how the Gemara is understanding it. So when he's learning the Chumash, he explains al pi pshuta shemikra. But let's say he's learning the Gemara, and the Gemara is learning the psukim, not al derech hapshat. Let's say the Gemara is learning the psukim al derech halacha, al derech hadrush, al derech. Well, I guess those are other ways. Al derech hadrush. Then he'll explain this is how the Gemara is understanding the story according to drush or according to halacha. But it's not a contradiction in Rashi because it's a different purpose. It's a different purpose of the sefer. So therefore, let's look at the Gemara and let's look why Rashi explains the Psukim that way. We already know. We already explained it. The question is, why does Rashi understand in the Gemara? Why does Rashi learn the Gemara that it was a lie, mamish? Maybe you could also say in the Gemara that Kederek she'asa Yaakov le'Esav means a white lie. So the reasoning is for a few reasons. Because first of all, the Gemara over there was talking about goyim that were chashudim al shfichas damim. It was a series of halachas. The Mishnah starts off with the inyan of you're not supposed to have yichud with a nachri because he's chashud al shfichas damim. It gives us a bunch of halachas when you're traveling with the goy because of shfichas damim. So therefore, b'pashas the Gemara when he talks about this idea when he asks you where are you going, it's also the same chashash of shfichas damim. That's the first point. To also understand from the Gemara, how it stresses the story. It says, Kederek she'asa Yaakov avinu le'Esav ha'rasha. The Gemara stresses that it was Esav ha'rasha. Why is the Gemara stressing that it was Esav ha'rasha? Because it's trying to tell us, like, why did Yaakov do this? It's like, just like Yaakov did to Esav the Russian. Meaning is that there was a real chashash of shvichas damim. And also, as I brought earlier, from the stories itself later in the Gemara, there was also mashma that they were ganavim, they were listim, these people were thieves, they were robbers. Again, so it's mashma that we're talking about situations where there's a real chash, a shvichas damim, and therefore that's why Rashi's understanding also the story with Yaakov and Esav in the same way that there was a real chash of shvichas damim, there was Esav Rasha, and he was planning on killing him. And that's also going to be why he said a lie, mamish. Since there was a real chashash for shvichas damim, then you need to do your utmost to protect yourself. So what's the best eitzah in this type of scenario is to give him the wrong destination. That's the best counsel what to do. So even though that's an outright lie, but since that's the best way to protect yourself, that's what you're supposed to do. So that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Masha'inkein, from the psukim, the psukim, it actually sounds like they were friends. Esav came to him, he kissed him, he hugged him, and Esav wants to accompany Yaakov to protect him. He wants to protect him and keep him company. So it's all like a feeling of chiba and reis and love. As Rashi explains to us, that when Esav says, I want to go with you, he says, this is a taiva. This is a type that Esav wanted to do. So therefore, it's very hard to say that in Pshutei Shemikra, Yaakov knew for sure that Esav was trying to kill him. Though the part of the Pesukim was, he wasn't for sure trying to kill him, it was just as a chashash. At the end of the day, Yaakov and Esav have a long history, therefore there's a chashash, and therefore he took a zehirus nesafes that im daiti lasis lira. So this also explains why Rashi al-Chumash says he didn't literally lie. Since It wasn't a chash of pikuach nefesh mamish. It's just like maybe it's Zahiris, like I'm not sure what his intention is. Maybe something will happen. So therefore, he protects himself slightly. Therefore, he says im dait lasis lira. So according to this, first of all, of course, the tzad halacha, very important to point out, they're not arguing la halacha. Where the Gemara is talking about when there's a real chash of shpichas damim, what are you supposed to do? Then you should lie outright. It's meaning is it's also halacha. It's giving you advice what you should do, and also telling you halacha that don't try to be extra firm and be marchiv and layas aderech. You know, try to give him a light lie. Try to hide the truth. No, if there's a real shasha shmichas damim, you gotta lie. That's what you're supposed to do. That's, I think, a very important point. Don't be, that's what the Gemara is trying. If there's a real shash, it's not such as mutter. You have to do this. This is the best way. You have to protect yourself in the best possible way. And if that entails lying, that's what you're supposed to do. Ashenken and the Chumash, there wasn't a shash because damim. It was just that he was being careful. Like, we have a history. I don't know if he's, you know, so what should I do? As the Medrash, Hagadol brought me, you know, but they darke sholem. Therefore, he tells him, like, I'm planning on meeting you, Seir. He doesn't want to cause a fight. Also, maybe he died to Lassus Lira. Maybe he's planning on something. Therefore, he does this here in the Sephis, which is, it's going to take me too long. You know, you go ahead. I'm going to eventually meet you there. And if anything's going to, if he's planning anything, hopefully it would have happened, will happen later. Of course, again, the reason Pashtus, why that's not as good, is because if these people know where you're going and you're just prolonging the way, then there is a chashash that they're going to try to attack you at some, they'll wait. You know, maybe they'll actually talk away. If they're planning on killing you or stealing you, they'll maybe go ahead, hide somewhere, and, you know, it might take a week, it might take a certain amount of time, but they're going to wait for you. Mashenken, if you tell them a totally different place, then you go at your normal pace, and then you leave before they have a chance of attacking you. So, of course, that would be a much stronger Eitzah. Okay, so that is Rashi on the Chumash, and the second part we're going to do Rashi and the Rambam.